Tube of the Song, Season 5, Episode 47, where we watch Jim Henson's Creature Shop Challenge, Season 1, Episode 1. I'm Chris Lorenz.
Robert Kitts.
This is Brian.
If this is your first time joining us, we watch a new reality show each week, discuss it in minute detail, figure out if it's good, bad, or whatever. Rob, what did we watch this week?
A group of creature designers compete against each other to create puppets and animatronics such as those found in science fiction, comedy, and kids and family shows, with the ultimate winner getting a position with the famed Jim Henson's Creature Shop. That's Jim Henson's Creature Shop Challenge on Sci-Fi.
All right. Well, yeah. So this is a standard competition show. 10 people challenge, one challenge, and then one elimination at the end. I have to say that this is very common in like a cooking show where like you have a range of like, you've got the best cooks in the world. And then you've got like some kindergartner that like doesn't know how to boil water. And like this show peak top of the top people on this show, right?
Yeah. These people definitely have some pretty good skills in the creature making department. You know, they're not learning how to make creatures here on the show. They're bringing some skills to the table.
Yeah. I mean, they're not the like people making, you know, they're not working at Jim Henson's Creature Shop, which is probably top of the top here. But like,
I mean, one of them might be at the end of this season. We'll see.
Well, I mean, one of them. So, okay. The winner of the show gets what? $100,000, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
And then they get a contract or internship with the work to work at the creature shop.
It's a little unclear.
Does not mean that they're going to get work as making creatures or work for a long amount of time or anything to say that you will work on a movie, which, you know, I think that's fair. Like, who knows what exactly, you know, what's going to work out with these people.
Yeah.
Some of these people I wouldn't want to work with, which we'll get into, I think.
If you want to go into the spoilers, I wonder if you could look up who the winner is and go to and look up their IMDb and see if they have any credits on anything we've seen. But that's a lot of internet cornering. We don't have our person here.
We don't have Noah here. Shout out to Noah, which is our internet corner master. But spoiler alert, I like the show, so I don't know if I really want to look up who wins.
Yeah,
but
I
do want to know is that person actually works there long term. Right.
I totally agree. But yeah. So next week, you'll binge the whole thing. You'll come back. You'll give us the update.
Okay. It's like a 90-day fiance situation, like, or Married at First Sight. Like at the end of the show, you're like, I want to know if they stayed married. But then 6 months later or 10 years, whenever you're watching it, you want to know if they're still together.
For sure. Maybe we text Noah right now. We're just like, hey, don't tell us who won, but.
You might. Yeah, I guess it is earlier for him right now. He's on vacation. So should we get into this a little bit? So
let's do it.
Let's talk. I guess they start with like the host, which is different than the judges. We have Gigi Edgley.
That's right.
And she's from Fargate.
Farscape.
Thank you for that.
Have you ever seen an episode of Farscape?
No. I have no idea who this person is.
Me neither. The contestants seem to be very excited by this person.
A couple of the contestants. I don't think all of them.
I guess it's fair.
It kind of seemed like a show where like you would see a lot of like puppets or like animatronics and stuff like that. So I think that maybe that's where it is.
Yeah. I think that they also kind of introduce like this. He's not a judge. He's like, they're like helpers. They're like the math. They're like the fat. The people that help make the creatures are actually Jim Henson, their master puppeteers or whatever. Master fabricators, I think what they said.
Yeah, they call them master fabricators. Yeah. So they called it the like master for the episode. So I think it implies that every episode they'll have a different rando expert from the Jim Henson shop come in and, you know, tell them that their thing sucks.
AKA, it's your turn this week. Get the fuck in there. This week we got Pete Brook. He's a supervisor of the master fabricators, I think, or something. All master fabricators are supervisors. I don't know. Doesn't matter. He comes in, gives him for advice later. But like, these are the people making like really popular movies, like effects for really popular movies.
Yeah, Farscape. This dude worked on Dr. Doolittle.
The new one?
The Eddie Murphy one. Oh yeah, there was another new one. You're right.
No, I forgot not Eddie about Murphy. That. It's
Downey.
Yeah. It's Iron Man.
Tony Stark's talking to the animals.
So they intro those people on the intro. The head honcho in the beginning, which he is a judge at the end, which is Jim Henson's son, which is Brian Henson. No, that's not right.
Yeah, that's right.
No, it is.
Right. Okay. Sorry. He's the guy that runs the whole studio, I assume.
Yeah, he's the chairman.
Chairman.
But like, he's definitely done some work as a puppet on, you know, not entrepreneur, like apprentice to his dad and stuff. And he has like some film credits. I don't know how good he ever was. But he also has like a decent number of voice credits. Like, he's done voices for things, including, did you guys ever see that weird Return to Oz movie, the sequel to The Wizard of Oz, that's 50 years later and really strange?
Is this the one with James Franco?
No.
Because I've seen that one.
That's a different one.
I have not seen the other one.
So he is the voice of one of the main characters in Return to Oz, whose name is Jack Pumpkinhead. And spoiler alert, he has a pumpkin as his head.
Is that his peak? Is that peak Brian Henson?
It's probably peak Brian Henson.
Spoiler alert for our questions.
He's not the host.
Yeah.
Gigi is the host.
We'll get to Gigi later. Let's talk about the challenge here, and then we'll go over the contestants as they would talk about their like competition piece. Seems like the right way to go. So their challenge is they're making a full body costume, and the like set is that they're in like an underwater scene where they're supposed to be at like the bottom of the Marianas Trench or like super deep, and they have to make some sort of weird fish alien creature. And it's puppeted by like actual puppeteers, not by the people making the puppets, not the contestants. So the idea is that you come in, make the scene, and they like is this weird alien creature, because it's like at the deep, it's like, but it's sea creature based, right? So let's talk about Tina and Russ last, because I think that that's probably the most interesting. Let's talk about Lex and Josh. So these people, let's see, what did I write down about Lex? Lex has her own shop and has been making like creatures for like movies and stuff. It didn't seem any major movies, but like, it's pretty impressive if you have your own shop making like this kind of stuff. Like, that's, you're not doing that. That's not like a hobby for you at that point. Like, this is your job.
Yeah.
It definitely. Go ahead, Brian.
I don't realize like there'd be like such high demand. Like, I don't know like how many jobs there are like this. This is,
yeah,
like, this isn't unique.
I don't think there is that high of a demand, Brian. That's what there's a higher demand than I think you realize, especially like, but I don't think there's that much. That's why I think it's very impressive with the amount of the like caliber of people they got for the show, just based on like how many movies are out, how many movies need like some sort of like effects like they make or like want to make. I'm sure these places will make like fake arms and stuff, or like fake noses or something that like mundane movies might need, but you know, real,
maybe like some like Carlot needs a mascot.
Yeah, some weird like normal stuff, but like obviously these people seem to like they want to make crazy Jim Henson puppets, right? They want to be making aliens.
Yeah,
but you know, there's probably more shows than you realize. Like, how many of these people working on Barney? Like,
no idea. And that's like what's wild is that like I probably don't even realize like where they're touching.
I think that's one of the things. But then we have Josh, which I didn't write anything down about him, but he, is this the guy that made the thing out of aluminum foil?
Yeah.
So he like, it's kind of more of a homegrown. He said he made his own toys when he was growing up. out of aluminum foil. So he's been doing it. Like, he's pretty young, but I guess he's got a decent amount of experience because he won the episode. He won the, like, the prize of whatever. You get nothing, but you won.
I don't think you get anything other than the satisfaction of a job well done.
Which, you got to pound the bag.
The winner.
Next week, back to square zero.
Yeah.
Wonder if he gets like time off next week, because like now there's an imbalance like in the number.
I don't think they'll be in pairs every week. I think they'll be doing different. I wonder if next week it'll be three teams of three or if it'll be solo. But yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about their design a little bit. They called it the Devil Prawn. It was kind of on the floor on wheels. They put it on like one of those moving, like when you're moving, it's got like four small wheels.
When you were in gym class, you would get on this and just like roll around the gym.
Yeah, that's a better explanation.
Yeah,
it looked pretty cool. They definitely had like these mandible things that like looked like you couldn't tell that they were human arms in them, really. I think they did like the face was definitely like something that I thought looked the coolest out of the whole group of people.
Yeah.
So when it first started, like when they were like doing like the screen test, like they were not the first people, but we knew that they did the cart. And then I just saw like the floor was just like covered in small rocks, and I'm like, oh shit, that's gonna suck so hard. But it ended up paying off.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they used the wheels in the screen test, because the wheels wouldn't have worked there.
I think they might have abandoned the wheels.
So,
really? But like, I don't see how they would have moved. Like, that's just like walking on your knees. That'd be so bad.
Yeah, I think that's what they had to do.
God.
Well, we'll have to get into how the puppeteers were. Like, the person that has to go into these costumes are really, really doing some work to make these things come to life.
That's the one thing I was kind of disappointed with all of the creatures in this episode was like, they're supposed to be sea creatures, but they like kind of hobbled a lot. Like, sea creatures don't fucking hobble. They like glow. They like glide through the air. Like, they need it. You needed more of like a path that they could like glide on. Like,
yeah.
Just,
yeah, like kind of set up that main path and then like you can like just go along it. Cause like, yeah, you're right. You wouldn't be like making like crazy noise in the deep because like you're trying not to get eaten.
Yeah. Sure. But overall, I thought theirs definitely, I think, deserved to win. I think theirs is really good.
Yeah. Back to the aluminum foil for a second. There was a good moment where he's explaining to Lex, yeah, let's just do this with aluminum foil. And she's clearly like, what? what insane idea is this? And she goes something like, that's it's an interesting technique. I'm looking forward to seeing it. You can tell like she's like, this is dumb. But he pulled it off. So good for him.
The judges also had a similar look on their face when they said it was made out of aluminum foil. I think that is not a typical thing anyone would ever do. So
Brian Henson now has some ideas and that's going straight to the next puppet.
Could be. If he works there, could be the next, you know, new fad they have there.
No, it's going in there no matter what.
Let's talk about Melissa and Ben. Theirs was like kind of an on the floor with the fur on their costume.
Fur.
I thought it was
like a crab.
Yeah, it was kind of crabbish. It was pretty good. I thought this looked pretty good. I thought this would kind of win because I think that they get a lot of praise at the end. But the other one definitely had better detail work, I thought. So I think that.
Yeah. The thing about this is that like it was sort of dark on the top and colorful underneath, and they designed it in a way that the person could kind of sit up and you could see underneath. That's that one, right? Or am I talking about the wrong one?
I think so. it's hard to get them all right. All correct. We may not be correct. You can tweet at us and let us know what we got wrong at Who Put This On, or you can leave us a review at iTunes and let us know what we got wrong. You let us know. There's like the thing we're going to get into is that these four people, there's like nothing really to talk about that much about like the actual people. Like, they seemed to work well. They kind of knew what they were trying to do. And sometimes it kind of looked like they were doing what they wanted to do. And sometimes it didn't, but like overall, it was kind of, they've kind of boring people so far.
I mean, not necessarily. They were definitely not given screen time for a specific reason. And I also think that has something to do with it.
Yeah, could be. We could talk about our next group. We have Ivan and Jake, or it's not Ivan. How do you pronounce her name?
Hold on.
Whatever. This one was kind of like, looked very human-y. They had like a human face, like a weird alien face, and it looked like a small person, kind of. It didn't look very fishy, which the judges really slammed them for. But I still think it looked good, and I think you could make a play for like, oh, you found an sentient species underground, like there.
Yeah.
But would they be human-like if you did? Probably not. So like,
I thought theirs like looked actually really good. I thought like the detail in the face was just great. But like one of the criteria that they did say at the start was, it should hide the fact that there's a person in there. We shouldn't be obvious there's a person in there. And theirs just looked too much like a person. That's like, yeah, there's definitely a person in there. And so that's, I think, why they, even though I thought theirs was actually like very good quality, but like it clearly did not succeed on that aspect. And that's what they were really getting hammered on.
Yeah, so one of Rob's points about these shows is like sometimes they give you like a bullet point list of things that they're going to be judging on, and sometimes they give you nothing and they make it up. Where this is kind of a mix in between, where they're like, here's a scene, here's what we're kind of looking for. We'll judge it at the end. They don't have a, they're not giving number criteria for each one.
Yeah.
But this was, that was definitely one of them.
Right. I like that they didn't say, like, we're giving you a score from 1 to 5 on your how oceany is it and stuff. That would have been super, like, disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, but you could give, like, points on, like, details or, like, maneuverable parts or, like, believability. Like, there's definitely a set of criteria, I think, that you could go down and give a numerical score for this competition. If, like, if you really thought about it.
I don't think it needed numerical score. Like, I think this one was pretty, there were two that were really good, there were two that were not good, and there was one in the middle. And this is the one in the middle. And because it failed the, it looks too much like a person criteria. Like, I thought this was nice and clear, and you didn't need numbers to make that more clear.
That's fair. But I just sometimes I want to give my own ratings. So if they give me like the bullet point, like I could give it.
And they, what should this show have been better if they're like, that's a top third costume. This is a bottom of the middle costume.
I don't, well, because like your rate, you'd have to rate, are you rating against the other contestants or just like in general?
Both.
Because like if it's against the other contestants, that would be just too hard. Like there's no need to do that. You already give your top and you already give your bottom. So like you don't need, like the intermingling ratings don't really matter. And like, you just want to give these all like bottom third compared to like real professional, like Dark Crystal level puppet
that are like, done in more than 2 days.
Yeah, this is a 2 day. This is a 2 day thing, which I guess we probably didn't describe, but like that's pretty quick. Like we're looking at people making like swords in 5 days. These people are making these giant like puppets in 2 days.
And the judges do a good job off the top being like, these are all insanely good. You think they only had 2 days to do it.
Yeah.
I think that like you could put all three of us in a room for 2 days and give us the same challenge. We definitely wouldn't come out with anything really.
Not doing that in a month.
Yeah. I was going to say, give us 2 months. It's not looking good.
I feel like if you give me 2 months, I'll come out with something.
Okay.
Will it beat any of these five? I don't know. But I think
it's possible.
There's a possibility that I wouldn't come in last place.
Okay.
Yeah, because I know what last places look like. So I have like a floor. So I just need to beat that one.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Let's talk about our next couple, I guess. Tina and Russ.
Oh, boy.
So, like, there's a good, like, I think 30% of this show is Tina and Russ. And it is them kind of just being dysfunctional because Tina says, like, she's just like, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. And Russ is, like, internally thinking, that's a terrible idea. Let's not do that. Or let's do it this way. But Tina is on, like, eighth idea, by the time Russ could like interject himself into like what's going on, and they're just a terrible team together.
I think this is multi-sided, though. I think that like he probably didn't speak up either.
Like, no, Russ needed, when he's like, when they're on, Tina's on her eighth idea, he needs to do what Chris does. Like, whoa, move it back. We're talking about this right here. I think it should go like this, you know, something like that. But then there's also like a part where like Tina tells Russ, hey, or like Russ is doing something, and he's like, he gets it kind of done. And then Tina's like, no, that's not how it was supposed to be done. And there's like some dysfunctional communication on that level too. And I don't know if that's just like these two people just work terribly together, or they work terribly with other people in general.
I'm going to burn Russ a little bit. And like, so they were like making the tail, and like she described it as like locks were like, and I'm like, okay, I got that. Like, it definitely wasn't what he was thinking.
Yeah. But then like, bring up your phone, look at it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if they had phones. So like,
they had a lot of pictures of sea creatures. Like, they could have brought up a lobster.
I definitely blame Russ more based on what we saw. Like, we don't, you know, it's hard to know based on the editing and stuff. And I guess we're spoiling one of our questions and stuff. But like, Russ just seemed like he was doing a bad job of just explaining that he didn't think her ideas were good and then complaining about them on the confessionals. But then when what's his name, the master, comes by, and the master like point blank asks them, how well are you guys working together? And Russ is like, things are great. And it's like,
Pete,
that's Russ, Mr. Brook, you got to speak up and say things are not great. Spoiler, before you're in front of the judges and you just start going off. Then, like, he just handled this so badly. It's not good.
I mean, I could definitely see him like I'm in more in his head, but I do agree that he's at fault. Not that she's not at fault, but I think that he is like going along with the flow, getting everything ready, like working, and he's just annoyed at this woman, at the partner, for like not taking his advice, and he's not giving it. So it's like he's more annoyed that he's not doing it, and he's like, fine, we're doing well, we'll see how this turns out at the end. And then at the end he's like, he didn't like the end of product. And then the judges are critiquing it, and he wants to deflect blame onto her, which is not the right thing to do.
Right.
Yeah. He definitely threw it under the bus, like, real hard. And that was just not the way to communicate that.
Yeah.
And he was also, like, coming in, like, real cocky. He was just like, yeah, like, I've done, like, all this, like, crazy stuff. Like, and they were showing some of the stuff that's pretty good. But, yeah, like, you can't do that. Like, I just don't think he's, like, really worked on a team well.
Yeah.
Well, he also has his own shop, so he might be more used to Tina's role, where he is the head guy. He designs it and tells other people what to do, and he doesn't know how to do
it. I think he's just doing it solo.
Could be doing it solo. I don't know.
I don't know, but I suspect that Brian's right, that like Russ is used to just working on his own, doing his own thing, and he just doesn't know how to handle other people and other ideas. But like, you're right. There's that confessional before it started where he's like, oh yeah, I do all this stuff. I'm doing this and this. I'm going to win for sure. I don't think you are, Russ, I got to say. But no. Shockingly, Tina and Russ were not the bottom group.
Yeah, that's why we talked.
Surprised all of us.
We didn't talk about their actual creature, though.
We should talk about it.
Yeah. So they made like more of a fish. So it's like a fish with a tit, it's got like giant, like teeth,
yeah,
in front, like a buck tooth teeth, and had like some fins that the puppeteer would work, and the puppeteer, like, it didn't look like it, the puppeteer was in there, he was like on his knees, I think, roughly, and there was some sort of tail that they were going to try to waggle, but that didn't happen from what I could tell, but it was kind of normal. It was like a normal fish ish but it looked like it came from the sea. So, like, they get those credits.
I thought some of the detail on the top looked really good. Like, I thought there was a clear quality in that. But the overall thing was just kind of whatever.
Yeah. I'm not saying that. Yeah, I think they did make a decent fish. Like, it looks cool. Like, especially the top. Like, I think that if I saw that in a movie, in the particular, like, section where that would be like you see normal fish like in the deep blue sea, that's fine. But that wouldn't be like something, ooh, I'm crazy, because that like looks crazy because you're at the bottom of the sea. Like, yeah, that's not what I would have thought. But Brian and I predicted that these people would be gone because they give 30% of the show to Russ complaining and them just not working well together. And then he threw her under the bus in the like judging to say like, oh, I would have done it this way, but I couldn't talk. I couldn't get two words in. And whew. At the very end, they did get a talking to saying like, hey, you guys worked very dysfunctionally and you're lucky to be here. So
yeah, for sure.
I wouldn't give him the internship.
But the thing is, this could be like the story throughout the whole show. Just like that Lego Masters show where like you think the bottom two and the first episode are just done because they're not working well together. And then by the end, they end up like they're there at the end because they've like figured out their problems, they figured out their shit. But they also
the challenges, Chris.
Yeah, so could be part of it. I don't know.
True.
They finally broke the sexual tension. That was the key.
The only way to get the raw puppet juice out.
Gross. All right, let's talk about our last group. We got Lex, or no, we already talked about them.
We got Chaz and Robert.
Mostly like this floor creature where like literally you had to crawl on the floor. And it was like kind of a worm. They called it Floyd. It was like a floor worm. It had giant eyes, glowing eyes, and like this giant mouth. It definitely looked like, I don't know, some sort of demented Muppet.
So they did say that that was exactly what they were going for. Like, yeah. Hey, we're getting a mix of like the Dark Undersea, but then it's also Jim Henson. And they were hoping that like they were going to get appeal to that, but that just wasn't in the parameters. Like it just did not work.
Yeah, that's not in the underwater sea creature like criteria. There's no how Muppet like is it? Because this isn't the Muppets. This is just we're making puppets.
Right. Yeah, and more importantly, one of the criteria is not kill the puppet master, which
to be fair, they didn't fail that. The puppet master was still alive at the end, but
true, it's close though.
Yeah, there was a point where the judges asked the puppet guy, the puppeteer, like, "How are you doing in there? You doing okay?" And he was like, "I can't breathe when I go down." He's like, "Why don't you get out of there then?" So they got out of there in the mid-judging.
That was the first point where I was like, maybe Russ and Tina are going to make it. When they were like, it's a bad sign when your costume is killing your puppeteer.
Yeah. My first inclination is when I saw their thing, I'm like, who? I don't know. Like, when you look at all five, this one definitely feels like it feels bottom. For sure.
At the time, like his explanation of I'm going for this Muppety theme on purpose, I was like, maybe they'll go for that. Like maybe they'll be like, okay, you had an interpretation and you kind of went for that. Now clearly the judges were like, why did like it was way too Muppety? Why'd you do that? And so that was like I could have seen a world where that. So I was like, Russ and Tina just seemed like it's such a mess. It's gotta be one of them gone. But then when they had to pull the guy out, I was like, oh, that's a bad sign.
So I think there's the main thing. I think they would have been there if they designed the puppeteer part. Like they just didn't design it. No. They were just like, this person's going to lay down. We're just going to, they didn't think about it early enough until they were too far in.
Yeah.
And then they were just like, oh crap. Like they got in it at some point and they're like, whew.
Yeah. Robert was in move. It and he was like, this is actually kind of a problem, but then they, there was silly to do anything about it. So I think, as we talked about, like, you know, the person who looked too human-like, I think thinking about how your puppeteer is going to use it was like a criteria they were using to judge it. So it wasn't just that it was too Muppet-like. I think the fact that it wasn't well-designed as something for someone to use was a big problem for them.
I feel like there's got to always be a criteria, though. Like, how are you going to use this? Like, is it going to be easy? Like, they have to get in the head of that as well.
Don't kill your puppeteer, I think, should be a constant criteria. I think you're
right. No, yeah. But that's the thing, is if you had the bullet point, that would have been one of the bullet points.
I don't know if don't kill your puppeteer would have been one of the bullet points. I think that's what's implied.
Well, yeah, it's implied. So you should get a checkbox. When you don't get a checkbox, you get kicked off the show. And that's all we found out.
That's true.
I always kind of feel bad the first week because it's like so many of the other people get to learn the lesson of week one. And one person, this guy, like next week, he would have done great. He's gonna be like, okay, let's think about this actual puppeting thing. But, you know.
And both Chaz and Robert talked about how like this was kind of not the kind of puppeting stuff they've done before. And so maybe it's just like they don't have the right skills to be on the show. Or maybe it's just, like this was the bad week one challenge for them. And maybe like next week's challenge they would have done way better at. So again, it's tough.
Yeah, it's hard.
I'm also in agreement, Chris, because like I think the Lego show did that where it was just like week one, you just got the crazy golden brick and then nobody was kicked off. And that was pretty good. Like learn the lesson and then come back. Like you're right. That makes it a lot better.
Yeah. I think the Lego show's like top of the top for these kind of shows. It's just like, it's like a creative competition. You kind of get to see their design flaws, like processes you go through. At the end, you get to see something cool and crazy. And there's like team dynamics and just like you throw wrenches in there and it's cool and fun. I think this show is good too. I think that, you know, we got to see some really cool puppeteers, people with really cool knowledge, industrial knowledge, and see how they get to use things. And like, I think these are pretty nuts to make in 2 days, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like you could say, hey, make this for your Halloween costume and start today. And it would take me, I don't know. It would look like garbage. Like, I don't think I can make anything like these.
So much money would be burned just because like I messed up on the foam a little bit. And then like these people are just like, yeah, like one or two shots done. At least it kind of seemed like these are too big that like where I think that if you messed up, like you'd have to recover there. I don't think you're just trying to remake the entire thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I there's definitely pieces. I don't really know. I watched some of like Adam Savage has like stuff on YouTube. That's like he does a lot of this like stuff where he'll make something in a day and you can watch him try to make it, but so I like I've seen stuff like that before, but even like stuff he does and like trying to do something like this in 2 days would be tough. I think that's like the most equivalent is like Mythbusters or like that other that Savage Build show we watched.
The thing is like those things though are a little bit more explodey and dangerous,
functional,
so you gotta take some time to make sure it's right.
I mean, yeah, Mythbusters definitely turned into how big of an explosion can we get show, which is not the show.
Once again, the rule is don't kill people.
Do we want to talk about the other judges or like, I guess I can mention them. They're like, it's not. We have Kirk Thatcher and Beth Hathaway, which I think Beth, it said they worked on Jurassic Park and Chronicles of Narnia. And I forget what Kirk Thatcher worked on. It seemed like older.
He did Return of the Jedi. And I was like, this is definitely the dude doing the Ewok stuff.
Could be. Do you think he was in an Ewok? Or
I don't know. Maybe it could also have been like an AT-ST or something.
I think he helped design Ewoks. I think that's important.
Yeah. I don't know.
He looked a little tall to be in an Ewok.
He's done shit, though.
I'm pretty sure those are the midgets.
Do you think Beth Hathaway is related to Anne Hathaway?
For sure. It's a child.
15% chance.
It is AB.
Is that how that works, Brian?
That's exactly how it works.
I thought you just did all the same letter.
No.
Some people do all the same letter.
That's just to like hide your genealogy if like things are really crazy in your family. Like you gotta like hide some dark stuff. Usually though, like everybody's gonna name it in alphabetical order. Through my studies.
Through your studies. I'll give you an anecdote here that my dad, all of his parents are start with one letter. All their kids start with one letter. And then I'm not with those letters. But my aunt, all her kids are the same letter as my parents and his siblings and his grandparents and like my grandparents. So, and they're all different names. There are no repeats.
Wow.
Oh.
Well, there's one repeat because it was a junior, but that's
like, somebody had to go for that junior.
Yeah. It's
gotta do the junior.
But no third though.
Emmy, who's been on the pod, her mom's name is Lene, and Lene's siblings are Larry, Lonnie, and Lori.
Oh.
It's intense.
You're just trying to mess with people with that. That's no good.
Larry and Lonnie are twins.
Larry and Lonnie?
Larry and Lonnie.
What kind of name is Lonnie?
I don't know. Larry and Lonnie also have a Rex Ryan, Rob Ryan thing going on, where one is very clean shaven and one is like super long hair, big beard.
Well, you gotta differentiate somehow,
I guess.
All right.
Do you think they collaborate on that? Yeah. Okay, you're gonna do this.
All right. Let's pull it back here. Let's get a question. Let's do it. Who's the worst human being in this show?
Russ.
Russ.
You think it's Russ?
Gotta be Russ. No one was that bad a person on the show, but it's definitely Russ.
You know, you guys have convinced me it's Russ, but I'll throw Tina in the mix. I think that it takes two to fail a partnership.
It does take two to fail, but I blame Russ more.
I don't know. That's fair. Is this the apex downgrade for the host? Did anyone actually internet quarter this GG? I guess it.
No. I mean, her number one on IMDb is Farscape, so it's Farscape versus the show. That's the apex question.
Yeah. So there's no way.
Yeah. Well, where is she in like the? If she's like a bit character in Farscape.
She's not a bit character. She's in like 67 of the 88 episodes or something.
Okay. All right. I'll give it to you then. That's your apex. This is our apex in the last like 20 years though. 30 years? When was Farscape on?
Farscape was 1999 to 2003. She was in 74 of 88 episodes.
Wow.
So she's like the most episodes of people that were not basically in every episode. So I don't know if that means she joined later or what, but she's basically a main character.
Yeah. But the show's also a little older. It's not a 2021 show. So
she was in Feud, Bette and Joan, but only one episode. So I think she probably had a small part in that.
All right, let's move on to. Do we have a baffling or cringeworthy moment, Brian?
Ooh, at the beginning when they were like showing like some of the puppets like around, they showed the fucking baby dinosaur from Dinosaurs, and I was like, God damn it, that thing.
This is something we haven't gotten into yet, but I think worth mentioning. Of like, there's a lot of cutaways to famous Jim Henson Muppet or like. Not Muppet, like Jim Henson stuff, like Dinosaurs, Muppets. We mentioned Dark Crystal, stuff like that. But they Labyrinth. Never show the Muppets. They never show Yoda. Like, where are all the A-list? The A-list, it's all the B-list.
Well, because they don't have the rights to the A-list, Rob.
I mean, just pay, you know, Jim Henson, Brian Henson, he's got that Muppet money. Just like, Bay, I need to have,
does he have the Muppet frog. Money?
I need to have a Kermit the Frog costume just sitting in a corner and we do a cutaway to it. That's all I need.
Sci-fi is bankrolling this. No way that sci-fi is cutting out for this.
That's true.
There's just like all those things are owned by Jim Henson's, like all those IPs are owned by Jim. Why would they care to have anything other than they already own these ones? Just show the ones they own.
That's the whole thing. Like Farscape was produced by the Jim Henson Company. That's why they were talking about Farscape. They had a Farscape person to do it. So it's all the stuff is in the IP
I didn't
family.
Get that link.
Oh, yeah. You didn't get
you're
that link?
You're holding out on us.
Oh, sorry. I thought that was obvious.
Well, obviously not. Never seen it. I don't know anything about it.
I think if it's mentioned in this show, it's probably from the Jim Henson Company. Dark Crystal, Farscape, Labyrinth. You know, all those guns there. Baby Sinclair, Dinosaurs Must Be.
I think it was pretty cringy when, like, we had Russ and Tina's, like, stuff started to, like, break and fall apart. And they're like, well, I hope that glue sets. We cut away. And we're like, and at the end, I guess we have to assume the glue set. and everything went okay, or they had extra time to glue it. I don't know.
I think
they're putting magic from them.
I'd give Russ a lot of cringeworthy moments, or just like him, just like it's cringeworthy when he just starts going off on her in front of the judges, when he's just like not telling Pete what's going on, and then just like a confessional, he's just complaining for no reason. Like, it's like, come on, man, get together.
Yeah, I agree.
It's also kind of cringeworthy when that puppeteer almost died. That I was like,
Do we have any minor minutia, Brian?
Oof.
I think we went over most of my minutia.
Yeah, me too. Oh, yeah. Like, Russ is like blasting Tina on stage. And he's like, I don't want to throw anybody in the bus. What?
You just did.
Yeah.
And then later, when she confronts him in the waiting room where they're waiting for the judge's results, she's like, you just threw me under the bus. Like, that's the last thing I wanted to do. Really, for us? I don't think that's the case.
I told you, he's just trying to deflect the badness onto her instead of him getting kicked out, which I think he would have gotten kicked out if that other crew wasn't there.
Yeah.
I think that he would have been on the chopping block.
But if they were the bottom team, like I think he would have been the one to go for sure.
It might have been a little like, I don't know the division of labor between the two of them, because it also could have depended on like I saw him doing the face stuff and that looked really good. So like, and if Tina was the one in charge of like the underbelly, like get her the hell out of there, because that looked like garbage. But it was a little unclear.
That's true.
Which is kind of one of my annoyances with the show, is like it's a little unclear while they're building the stuff. Like, it seemed, this first episode, so I can't give them too much credit, but like it was like 10-15 minutes introing the people on the challenge. Then it was like 10-15 minutes of them building it. And then it was like 20 minutes of like doing the screen test and judging. So like half the show was really the judging, and it really wanted a little more like design work and how things were put together and like who's doing what, because then I'd have a good idea who got eliminated at the end. But
yeah, there's a lot of stuff that seemed to come together at the end, and like it kind of makes sense, because like some of it was just like rubber or like cloth like going over them, and like the foam is like the biggest part, like getting the texture right and like making sure that it's not going to break. But yeah, like it feels like they skipped a few steps there.
Felt a little real. Anyway, let's get to drinking rules. So I'll nominate, anytime Russ is throwing anyone under the bus, you take a drink. Brian?
I think for this show, drink a shot every time something breaks.
Ooh.
This is only like two episodes. Like this still follows like the same formula of like the competition show, where like you're going to have these like dramatic moment, like, oh, is this going to make it? Or, oh, this broke. I think it's only going to be like one or two. So I think it's going to be like reasonable drinking wise.
Rob, what do you got for me?
I got to take a drink every time, as we talked about, there's a cutaway to a prop from a famous movie. Ooh, or another movie thing. I think that's what you got to do. And a shot for Baby Sinclair.
I think this is a good one for like a typical reality show, is anytime there's a confessional, you can take a drink.
Ooh, there's a lot of confessionals.
But like all the rules, there's not a whole lot of drink at the episode. I'm just throwing one out there, you know, lob it up. Who knows? Let's get into one of our favorite questions here. Production schedule. I got some questions on this one. So this one, they get 2 days to make this thing. Mm-hmm. Then it cuts to seemingly the next day. Question mark if it's the next day. They do the screen tests on the next on a separate day. So they get 2 full days of work. Then they get this. There's 10 people. So assuming like 8. How many episodes are there? 8 episodes, probably.
8 episodes.
Yeah. So you can extrapolate that 8 times 3. You know.
3.5 weeks.
But do you think that's it?
No, I think there's going to be like some break days thrown in. I think you just like throw in, so that would be like 3.5 weeks. I think you throw in like just an extra week.
I don't think they're working on the weekends, Rob.
Oh, that's fair. So it's like, it would be like 5 weeks then.
Cause I think this is like, you know, you bring in the master guy in, there's other people around. It would be more expensive to pay them to come in on the weekend, like the camera guys and stuff. Or maybe it's just 8 weekends.
Oh, maybe it's 8 weekends. Interesting.
Because you get the shop is open for them, but whatever the shop is, I think that would make more sense.
They're using facilities for the real shop, and on the weekend it's empty, and then they use it, and then a Great British Baking production schedule.
Yeah, that would make more sense to me.
And then the judging is on a weekday because Brian comes into the office. He's like, "I'm not coming in the weekend to judge your show."
Yeah.
Yep.
And that master fabricator guy's got to come in on the weekend.
Yeah, they make him.
That's fine. Weekend. You bring him in for an hour. That's fine. Yeah. That's one hour.
You need one weekend to be on this show, or you're fired. That's the.
No way you're firing that dude.
Damn you, Brian.
I think that guy's probably got a lot of clout. You can't just be like coming on the weekend. You're fired. No, he's just walking.
No.
He's like, that Weta workshop, I'm sure they're hiring some master, some people with my skill set that no one else fucking has.
For sure.
Just like the specialized skills, you're just burning bridges. Let's talk about the inspirations for this show, I guess. Let's talk about it. Who are the show's mommies and daddies here?
I think number one obvious is Project Runway. Project Runway is the OG. People get in a shop and create these, you know, costumes, for lack of a better word, and then there's a judging, and Brian is the Heidi Klum, who's both kind of the host but also a judge, and they have a rotating Tim Gunn person. You know, that's clearly the model of the show.
Is that the OG?
I think it's the OG.
Why? I don't think we've done that show.
We never done it. I thought we did it, but maybe I thought we did it, and I stopped thinking we should do it. But we should probably do it.
Yeah, maybe a big number. I don't know. Got to think of our next big number podcast.
We could save it for 250.
I think no matter what, that is the one that's the direct parent of this show because of the costume crafting. The other parent though is Sesame Street.
That's fair.
That's very fair.
I was just going to say, there doesn't seem, it's like a direct, these competition shows are just direct. There's usually not pulling in a whole lot from anything else. There's no there's no combos usually.
No, it's just a different subject matter. We've done the glass blowing show. We've definitely done other shows of this kind.
Done a lot of them. Try to avoid doing a ton of them. But there are good ones and there are bad ones. So I do still think that it's not like a travel show where it's all the fucking same. And it's you've seen one, you've seen them all. So would this show be better as a Quibi?
I don't think so. I don't think you can see them putting different costumes together. A Quibi version would be one team putting together one costume and showing it off. But it'd be a different show.
Fundamentally a different show. You could have a Quibi of somebody making a costume and showing it off in a scene. But that would not be a competition.
Right. I do think you could cut a solid 7-8 minutes out of the show, but I don't think you could Quibi-size it.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely cut some time, sure. Every reality show you could cut 7-8 minutes out of.
Except for Queebies. Can't cut 8 minutes out of a Queebie.
All right, let's get to our final and favorite question, ranking. So we do a stack ranking system where we do top, middle, bottom, third, compared to other reality shows. And some people stack rank in their stack ranks. Brian, what do you got for me?
This is bottom of the top. This is a very cool show. I love what they're creating. I really hate that the drama that's there, they focus on it too much, but at the same time, all the other stuff is just so cool and so fun that I enjoy this.
Rob, what do you got for me?
I've also put it in the top. I think as far as a competition show goes, I think the output of these kind of, creatures is pretty interesting and kind of, it's fun to see the reveal and what's going on. And the what we saw of like what it takes to build it was actually kind of interesting to watch and see like, okay, how are the, you know, the guy with his aluminum foil plan and how that kind of comes together and stuff. There's some interest to what they're doing. They're not just like, you know, wrapping presents and seeing how they do stuff like that. So I thought that was pretty good for keeping our attention.
He goes, sick burn.
I mean, we watched that show. I saw it.
I think I missed it, and I'm so happy.
You'd be glad. I agree. Top third. I think that the show, very interesting, very cool output. I think that, like, unlike the glass blowing show, I think that it's actually interesting to watch these people work and collaborate together. And I think it's super interesting to see what they come up with. I'm actually interested to see what kind of challenges they come up with, because it can be like anything. It could be cool. It, like, that seems cool. It's very much Lego competition show, whatever that was called.
Lego Masters.
Like, I'm very, very interested in keeping going. So unanimous top third. Haven't had that one in a while.
It's been a bit.
So in the pantheon, in the Hall of Who Put This On fame.
Maybe we'll be talking about it again soon. We'll see.
Yeah. Cool. Season reviews coming up soon, guys.
Could be.
So let's get on to shout outs. I've got a couple shout outs. So last week we watched the Bridge show, and I may have side watched the whole season of The Bridge. And I'm not sure. I definitely don't recommend it. It is, in terms of, I gave it a middle third, still middle third, even though I watched the whole thing. The tone is very depressing for 2021. Like, I don't really sob, sad down stories from like the UK right now. I just don't need it. And like this whole like making the Brit, like producers putting their thumb on the bridge, off the bridge, on the bridge. And it's just like, I don't think it's a very good show.
Sorry.
Another.
Yeah. Do you want those American sob stories? Don't want any UK sob stories.
Oh, it's fine to have a sob story, but like after episode one, you drop it.
Yeah.
We're done with the sob. We're moving on to this bridge, but they didn't drop it. There's so many sob stories of like, oh, I want my son's tombstone, or I just like had COVID and blah, blah, blah. These people aren't working with me. I'm leaving the fucking show. Like, fuck off. Get your shit together. Get on that. Make that fucking bridge.
You can only introduce like a couple sob stories per episode. Like, there's a ratio. There's a golden rule.
I just, after episode one, I don't want the show to be about pre-show. I want the show about your show. Am I wrong? Like, the show's about making the bridge. I feel like there's, what, six episodes? There might have been half an episode's worth of them actually, shots of them actually making the bridge.
Right, right.
It was all about this, like, drama bullshit. Like, I want to see them make the bridge.
I'm just picturing Chris shouting at his TV, it's in the freaking title!
So, Chris, you've actually criticized shows before where it's like, I don't care about these people. They're trying to make you care about these people, but they just shifted the needle too far the other way. Like, there's a balance.
Yeah, sure. There's a balance. Like, but the show's called The Bridge, Brian. It's not called Powwow at the old ranch by the bridge that you're half making.
Did they show that the real bridge all along was the friendships we made along the way?
No. It was all about the money. All about that money. Money, money, money.
That's true. My friendship with money.
Another anti-shout out is I watch Godzilla versus Kong. And if you really like some kaiju action, I suggest watching the last 30 minutes and just chuck the first hour and a half. It's not good. It's all like humans, and like there's just no chance these humans are gonna die, and it's just like half the plot doesn't, most of the plot doesn't fucking matter. And you just want to see Godzilla versus Kong. That's all you came to watch. Watch the last half hour. Rob, you have a shout out this week?
I do. I should have warned you. I got a little bit of a longer one. So I unexpectedly watched season 3, episode 1 of Seeking Sister Wives, which is a show we've done on the podcast.
Yes.
And there's just so much nut stuff going on in that show. So first I'll say Dimitri is back. Dimitri was the star of the episode we did, which recap. That episode is he is married to one woman. He goes on a date to find a sister wife, comes home to tell his actual wife he banged this random woman, even though he wasn't supposed to, and just kind of has this like, well, you know, that's just kind of what happens. And his wife's like, what? I don't know how she doesn't just leave him immediately at this point. Season two, he's in that, they're in that one too. And I saw the end of the last episode of season two, and it's they're getting married to their new sister wife. And there's all this, this different person. That person got cut. New person. They did it right this time. And there's all this drama about some people who are invited who are like, hey, they don't think this is actually going to work out. This doesn't seem like they're not in for reasons. Dimitri gets really mad that people don't respect all the love they have. Well, guess what? That person out. Season three starts. It's back to just Dimitri and his wife. And
Dimitri doesn't seem like a very good person to be in the sister wife call.
He really doesn't. And I do not understand why his actual wife hasn't left him too, and why she's in on this, we're going to find a sister wife game. And so their thing is now there's someone flying in from South Africa who's never actually met them in person, who's going to come and be their new sister wife. Although Dimitri's wife does say this is a trial, and so that means there's no sex. Dimitri's learned his lesson. I was like,
what?
It's so nuts. And this person is all like so excited to meet him. And I'm like, have you seen this show? You might not want to meet this guy. You shouldn't be so excited to see this guy. This
is reality bullshit. He's just trying to be famous.
But here's the thing. Somehow he did not win who is the worst person in this episode.
Wow.
Good tee up.
So
I mean, this whole show is just full of who's the worst human being.
I mean, yeah, but like usually it's like I've only seen like 2.5 episodes, and Dimitri's always the worst person in every episode I've seen. So somehow he wasn't in this one. So I don't remember their names. So I'm just going to call them the husband and the wife. So there's this couple, and they're talking about how they're very religious. And the husband's like, the Bible has lots of examples of plural marriage. That means like it's okay, and it's something we should be doing. And it's clear the wife is not in on this idea. She's not down. And they talk about how like she prayed on it. They thought about it and decided it's something that makes sense to want to do. But like the body language is like, she's does not like this idea, and she's going along with it. And then he's like, he went on all these like online sites to find someone else. They're basically talking to this person who lives in Brazil, who doesn't speak English. And they talk about how they have their phone, and they have the app, and they say something, and the phone translates what they're saying. Then she says something back, and they translate it back. It's just, it's nuts. And they did some trip somewhere together to actually meet in person for the first time. And on the second night, he proposes this person to be their sister wife, because that means now that they're engaged, he can bang her. And they bang that night. And you can, like, they're telling the story, and he's, like, excited about what a magical moment this was. And the wife is just like, this is terrible. And, like, she's, like, saying, like, yeah, no, that's what happened. So, but here's the kicker. They're figuring out how to bring this person to the U.S. to live with them as their sister wife. Well, but there's no legal status. You're right, Chris. He is divorcing his actual wife so he can legally marry this other person so they can come to the U.S. And the wife is like, yeah, you know, it's a big risk. The fact that, you know, we're getting legally divorced, and, you know, this could, you know, end really badly, but I just have to, you know, have faith that it's going to work out. Just like, oh my gosh, this is definitely ending with you getting dumped and then this Brazilian person dumping this guy who's an asshole, and you're all being alone. Like, what's going on? And I cannot believe this.
They all deserve to be alone at that point.
I don't know if this wife deserves. I know this wife.
The wife is the one not pushing back. Like, but she should be alone with somebody else. She should be with somebody else. This is a path that way.
Yeah, she should have just divorced him off the bat. Be like, you want to go bang other people? Okay, fine. Let's do this and go and make a better life for herself. But yeah.
Whew. How much of that show is it real? Does that feel real to you, Rob?
It felt real in the show. Now, maybe it's all fake and it's just, you know, well-written drama, but I'm just like, I really felt like this.
I just,
this is actually happening. And I'm just like, I cannot believe this. It also seems unbelievable. Like, how can this be for real?
This is the evolution of soap opera.
It's true. So I might be in on the whole season now. I might have to watch all of Seeking Sister Wife season three, which is terrible, but I'm
is that you're folding a laundry show?
I watched season three, episode one while folding laundry. You're correct.
Yeah, there you go. I'm bringing it full circle here. Brian, you have a shout out this week.
I'm going to keep shouting it out. Mighty Ducks Game Changers. Like, if you want to cleanse yourself from the sister wife situation, this is the show to watch.
Or The Bridge.
I was giving a shout out to Invincible. That show on Amazon with like superheroes.
Animated Wild. Superhero show. Pretty good. Yeah. Good show. Very adults.
Yeah. Very younger, adult.
Yeah. I mean, younger. Just don't watch. Don't let your tweens watch it. I guess. Maybe. I don't know. I don't care. I'm not your parent.
Don't let your tweens listen to this podcast.
We're explicit. All right. Well, I think that's it for us this week. You can find us on Twitter at WhoBitTheSon. You can find us on Facebook.com/WhoBitTheSon. You can email us questions, suggestions at WhoBitTheSon@gmail.com. We'll see you guys next time. We don't really need...
No.
Wait, why do you keep saying no, Brian?
Rob, Brian. The order...
Did we lose Brian? I heard Brian just say no, and he looks frozen.
That might be the intro.